Hey, it's Mike Simpson here. There are always what-ifs that you're trying to guard against, and I want to tell you about Equity Protect, because what if you lost your home not to some kind of natural disaster or a fire, but to title theft? Your homeowner's insurance won't cover you. The monitoring services, they can't stop it. But Equity Protect, they can. You're thinking, is title theft real? Yeah, it is. Criminals can forge documents and steal properties. They try to do it all the time. That's why you need to call Equity Protect at 866-485-1834. What they have is their patented smart policy that protects your homeownership from cybercrime, from fraud, and they've been all over the place, and maybe you've seen them on Forbes, Fox News, MSNBC, USA Today. You can check out their reviews on Google, on the BBB, 866-485-1834, 866-485-1834, equityprotect.com. All the info's right there for you. And protect your home today. EquityProtect.com, 866-485-1834, 866-485-1834.
For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners and learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
For full details, including terms and conditions, visit unlock.com/legal. Call 1-888-780-6854 to speak with a representative today. Actor portrayal. Terms and conditions apply.
Lisa, thanks for having me over. Your new kitchen is gorgeous. How'd you find the money to do it?
We worked with this great company, Unlock. They help you unlock the future value of your home to get the cash you need today.
So it's a home equity loan?
No, it's not a loan at all. There's no monthly payments and no interest charges ever. And you can use the money however you want. We were able to redo our kitchen and pay off our credit card debt.
Wow, Jack and I could really use this to finally pay off our old student loan debt. How do I get started?
It's easy. Just give him a call or go to unlock.com.
Call 1-888-780-6854 to unlock the value in your home and get up to $500,000 in cash with no monthly payments and no interest ever. Use the money for home improvements, to pay off debt, or to add to your retirement fund. It's up to you. Visit unlock.com. That's unlock.com. Or call 1-888-780-6854 now to get started.
All right, 70 degrees right now, 50% chance for showers, and you heard Peyton Malone say it's hard to predict when those showers are going to pop up. They had some street flooding in the Ninth Ward and Gretna yesterday, and it all depends on, you know, we're below sea level. I don't think I have to tell you that, but it all depends on how quickly and how much it rains and whether or not there's going to be some street flooding. So Peyton said they can't really tell you where or when or what's going to park over where. So I guess just be aware of it today. Highs of 82, 40% chance for showers tomorrow. Highs 83. Then the good news heading into the first weekend of Jazz Fest. Thursday, sunny. Highs of 84. Likewise, Friday, 85 and 86. Saturday and Sunday, dry. No chance for showers, which is good because we also have the Zurich Classic underway. Christopher Bellito joins us now, professor of history and a papal historian at Kane University, to talk about the conclave and the selection of the new pope after the passing of Pope Francis. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. Professor, I got to ask, I know this is steeped in ritual and tradition, but does there exist somewhere some type of, I hate to call it a policy and procedure manual, to make sure that everything is done according to the rules that and I guess we'll get to that in a second. What is the cardinal that's in charge of this called that would go to see that everything's being done according to procedure?
Yeah, well, let me start at the top. Yes, there is a book. It's largely written by John Paul II in 1996 with a couple of little changes and tweaks. But locking people up into a conclave, literally conclave, cum clavis from Latin, with a key, dates back to the year 1274, when a particular church council put this into law. For the first about 1,200 years of the church, the Bishop of Rome or the Pope was chosen by either people in Rome calling out names and agreeing what's called acclamation, or the warring families in Rome picking someone. So this process is about 750 years old, and it is in fact written down. And the key person to whom you referred is the Camerlengo, something like a chief of staff. Mm-hmm. And if you saw the movie Conclave, this was Cardinal Lawrence, who was played by the actor Ray Fiennes. This fellow now is a cardinal by the name of Kevin Farrell, born in Ireland, who has spent his career among Spanish-speaking communities and then came to the United States, I think about in his 30s, and spent his career in the Archdiocese of Washington and then was the Bishop of Dallas until he was called to Rome.
What does he do when the Pope is alive and functioning?
Nothing. This is his job. He has other jobs. Cardinal Farrell has other jobs within the Curia. But when the a papal death is kind of like a starting pistol. And so there's no surprise as to how this plays out. So the funeral has to be within 4 to 6 days. In this case, it's been announced on day six for Saturday. Then there's 9 official days of mourning, and the conclave has to begin 15 to 20 days after the Pope's death. It can begin a day or two earlier than day 15 if everything is set, but there's an awful lot to do. So I don't expect they'll announce this soon enough. Probably around May 4th or 5th, the conclave will begin. It'll probably take 1, 2, or 3 days. Probably by about May 8th or 9th, we'll have a new pope.
When it comes to the funeral services for, well, let me take a step back, Professor. You mentioned that this procedure was changed by Pope. Did you say John Paul II or John 23rd?
Well, the Pope Gregory X in 1274 put this into play, but in 1996, Pope John Paul II did a major update, and the major update was when you only had 2 or 3 dozen cardinals, they could sleep in the rooms outside of the Sistine Chapel. If you've been to the Vatican, right, the Vatican Museum, there are all these little rooms. But now you've got 110, 20, 30 cardinal electors, many of them elderly. And so what John Paul II did in the 1990s was he built a dormitory, which is where Pope Francis lived, the dormitory or the House of St. Martha. And so the cardinals will essentially be a sequestered jury. That was kind of the major change that John Paul II made in 1996.
So when you see a movie like, I think it was The Shoes of the Fisherman, and they're constructing these little apartments, that's the old way. The new way is now they go to like a hotel or a dormitory or something?
Yeah. The movie Conclave, you know, apart from kind of the politics of it, was very accurate in terms of the procedures.
Okay. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back and talk about what happens. I want to do real quick before we take a break. This Pope changed his funeral arrangements, right? And talk about the differences with Pope Francis and some of the ceremony as it relates to the funerals of other popes.
Well, the funerals of popes from John Paul II to Benedict XVI and now to Francis have been progressively simpler. And so this is just a natural progression. You know, the Pope is a monarch. The papacy is the longest monarchy that's still going in the history of the world. Before that, of course, you had the Egyptian pharaohs for thousands of years. And so the burial of a monarch was very elaborate. But starting with Paul VI, who was buried in a simple wooden coffin with an open book of the Gospels on it, things have really dialed down.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Professor Christopher Bellido, a professor of history and a papal historian at Kane University. It is interesting about the way a new pope is selected. We'll get more into it when we return. 620 Traffic Now, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Professor Christopher Bellido, a professor of history and a papal historian at Kane University. Professor, what did the movie Conclave get right and what did it get wrong?
Well, it got right a lot of the procedures. For instance, when the cardinals go into a vote, it's nothing like an American political convention. There are no nominating speeches or acceptance speeches. All they do is vote. They vote twice in the morning and twice in the afternoon. So a morning session, they count the votes, exactly what occurred in the film. Each one writes down a name and a pre-printed card that says in Latin, Eligo in summum pontificem, I elect a supreme pontiff. They walk down the aisle. They make a declaration in Latin. I say that this is the person that I think should be chosen pope. And they put the ballot in kind of a big urn. The ballots are counted. So if there are 135 electors, but there are 136 ballots, they're not open, they're not counted, they're burned. That wasn't in the film. If there are 135, then they begin the vote. The first cardinal, there are three of them, chosen by lot, reads the name, writes it down. The second does the same. The third is the person who reads the name out and then kind of cancels the ballot to say that it's been counted by putting a needle and thread in it, which is gloriously old-fashioned. You need two-thirds vote. If nobody gets the two-thirds in the morning in the first vote, they proceed immediately to the second. If nobody gets it there, they take a break for lunch. They come back late in the afternoon, and they do it all over again until they have two-thirds or two-thirds plus one. If there's no valid, successful election, they burn the ballots with some pellets that produce black smoke, no election, letting people outside know. White smoke, Bianca, Bianca, the crowd will shout. Means that there is in fact a successful pope. So those procedures were done correctly. Some mistakes that are made is there is no way that Cardinal Lawrence would have heard someone's confession and then revealed, as he does with the African nun, and then revealed the contents of that confession to another person, as he does to a cardinal. A cardinal who shows up with a note from the prior pope and says, the prior pope made me cardinal in secret, that person would not be able to enter into the conclave because the prior pope would have to make that public.
Let me jump in real quick, Professor, and move from the movie to the real, and that is yesterday we had a guest that told us Pope Francis appointed about 80% of the cardinals that are going to be voting in this pontifical, I guess it's an election, is that what you call it, selection process? So have previous popes, first of all, does that mean that the deck is stacked toward a predecessor? Okay, go ahead.
I don't know who you had yesterday, and with all due respect, that position is nonsense. Cardinals, school principals, CEOs, everyone surrounds them.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Themselves with people who are like-minded. John Paul II did the exact same thing, and Benedict did the exact same thing. Some of the people who criticized Francis for doing that seemed to think that that was just fine under John Paul II and Benedict XVI. And I just published a piece this morning that says you have to expect the unexpected. If the Italians had been stacking the deck for 455 years, how do you get a Polish pope in 1978? If Benedict and John Paul II, who were of a more conservative bent, had stacked the deck, how do you get Bergoglio, a very different person, in 2013? So it's simply a nonsensical charge.
Do you have any names that
no.
you're looking at? No? Do you think anybody has any idea at this point?
Well, you know, there's an old saying, the people who know aren't talking, and the people who are talking don't know. I think this is a wide-open election. It's kind of a bit of a wild-card election. If you look at the history of papal elections, people talk about the papabile, which in Italian is a great word, literally means popable, you know, kind of the inside 10 or 20 people. And I could come up with a list of 20 and someone else could come up with a list of 20 and there could be no overlap of either of them. It probably seems likely, you know, Francis was in the mold more of a pastor than of an administrator. Probably they may go in that direction. Probably for the first time in history, half of the College of Cardinals who are voting will be from outside of Europe and North America. That's still disproportionate, but the church is faltering north of the equator and flourishing south of the equator. So could be that we're going to get someone from Africa or Asia or maybe Latin America again. But the answer is expect the unexpected.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time. Hope we get to talk to you again. Christopher Bellito, Professor of History and a Papal Historian at Kane University. We'll take a break, talk about Neptune Pass when we return. Right now, time for WWL First News. 6:46, 14 till 7 now on this Tuesday morning. Kind of misty and foggy outside, I guess, after all the rain and the dampness that's in the ground. Another chance for showers today. Had some flooding yesterday in areas of the Ninth Ward. Also, Gretna, it all depends, as y'all well know, when the rain falls and how quickly it falls and how much. And they don't know right now where exactly that's going to happen, but there is a chance for showers, so be aware of that. 50% chance for rain, and who knows where they could pop up. That's what the weather people are saying. Highs of 83 today. Pretty much same thing for tomorrow, but then for Jazz Fest, Zurich Classic, it clears out, sunny and warm, highs between 85 and maybe 86 all the way through the weekend, plenty of sunshine. Alex Coker joins us now, Associate Professor of Coastal Geology at Louisiana University's Marine Consortium. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. It's great to be here.
Let's talk about Neptune Pass, I guess specifically as we discuss sediment diversions, because we spent a lot of time here talking about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion, and it seems as though Neptune Pass could be a preview, if you will, a rehearsal for the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion or not.
Well, Neptune Pass, you know, it's this cut about 50 in the river, about 50 miles downstream of New Orleans. And it moves, it functions a little bit like a sediment diversion. In fact, it functions a little bit like the way that the Mississippi River Delta was built.
It's let me take a break first, Alex. Let me go back and talk about Neptune Pass and the origins, because while we talk about it all the time, maybe people are tuning in and they don't understand what it is. So I guess that's my fault. We should back up and talk about how Neptune Pass came to be.
Yeah. Neptune Pass is a channel. It was before 2020. It was just a small little canal that connected the Mississippi River to Breton Sound, to Quarantine Bay, which is one of the bays in southeast Louisiana. It's about 50 miles downstream of New Orleans, near the town of Empire, but on the other side. And then somewhere around 2020, that system expanded by like a factor of 10 in less than a year. And so it now carries 15% of the Mississippi River. And so it's bringing water from the Mississippi River to Quarantine Bay. And it is building a delta. It's building a landscape of islands and shallow water sandbars that is it's one of the largest new deltas in North America.
So compare and contrast what this was able to accomplish as opposed to a dredging project if the same thing had been attempted in the same area over the same time period, if that's a fair question.
It is a good question. I'll be straight up and saying I haven't done that particular math, but we got a system that is, say, 3,000 acres of shallow water environments. Some of these things are exposed when the water levels are low. Some of these things are covered with a little bit of water when the water level is up. And we've got about 3,000 acres of shallow water habitat out there, which is actually faster than you might expect from a lot of dredging projects. Some of that material was scoured from the channel, just extracted from the channel when it eroded, but actually a fair amount of it was created by sediment coming down the Mississippi River, building land kind of in the way that people envision in the diversions. So, and actually we think that the amount of So it built 3,000 acres of shallow water environment pretty quickly.
What has it done to seafood in the area or wildlife in the area?
Yeah, if you go out there, there's plenty of birds in the area, particularly when those shallow water areas are low. Those areas are filled with birds. It probably hasn't changed the salinity all that much because the area was already fresh. So we're not seeing any major changes in salinity because the area was already pretty dominated by fresh water. There's actually a few other cuts that carry a significant amount of fresh water, just a little bit upstream and a little bit downstream of it.
Now, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. Talking to Alex Coker, Associate Professor of Coastal Geology at Louisiana University's Marine Consortium. If you listen regularly, you know we've spent a lot of time talking about the Mid-Barataria's sediment diversion, about Neptune Pass, about Mardi Gras Pass, about different things that are going on in terms of building sediment. You mentioned when the water's high, Alex, I'm going to talk about building land above the ground because I hear that phrase used and I don't understand with tides how you can always say it's above the ground or below or how do you keep score when it comes to that, right? So we'll pick it up there. We come back. Time for traffic now on WWL. 657, 3 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Alex Coker, Associate Professor of Coastal Geology at Louisiana University Marine Consortium. A new study about Neptune Pass. The pass now has a flow five times that of New York's Hudson River. Professor, when you talk about land being built up, and I see pictures that this in the story I'm looking at of people standing on the land, but they're in like ankle-deep or shin-deep water, I get confused sometimes when it comes to keeping score or deciding what's land build up and what's not, because they talk about it being above the water level, but that all depends on the tides, right? What am I missing here?
That's a great question. Exactly what the elevation of land is a really important question that we have here in Louisiana, and we try to do that with a high resolution GPS that doesn't just tell you your position on Earth, but also tells you your elevation. And actually, there's a whole formal system of trying to figure out the exact elevation of every spot on Earth, not unlike finding the elevation of a mountaintop. And one of the things that scientists here in Louisiana do a lot of is try to measure the elevation. You go out with a high-resolution GPS, and you compare that to computer models of the Earth. And that is actually how we know the elevation of areas in Louisiana, is by using a high-resolution GPS and comparing that to effectively computer models of the Earth. One of the nice things that came out of this project that I'm really excited about, just from a side of the scientist, is some of my co-authors, Dallin Weathers and Christy Swan, who both run small companies, they had a really inventive idea that they could take water level measurements that we took from a boat with a high-resolution GPS attached and connect that to images from a satellite and use that to come up with a map of elevations for the whole area. And I actually think that's a really nifty and neat idea.
Professor, I need a 20-second answer here. When it comes to coastal erosion and knocking down storms, does it matter if the land is above water or if it's a foot below water? Because when a storm surge comes in, it's going to be below water, right?
It's going to be below water. So if there's a big storm coming in, having any buffer helps because the waves can break on that buffer. Of course, the higher the buffer is, the better. But if you're looking at a 20-foot storm surge or a 10-foot storm surge, doesn't really matter whether it's a few inches or not.
I got you. Water. Thank you, Professor. I hope you come back. Appreciate the conversation. Appreciate your time and your work. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk about sugarcane and its importance to the Louisiana economy. Tommy Tucker, WWL.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.